Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're continuing our conversation talking about the NFL new national anthem policy. And we'll do that right now with someone that covers the league for AM 1340 out in Denver. And I thought he's given one of the better viewpoints on this situation because of his background being a two-tour, 15-year Army veteran. And he told me last time we were talking to him that kneeling in front of the flag does make him feel uncomfortable. However, he doesn't take it as a personal insult and believes it is the right for what he fought for, and people should listen and help fix this problem. So let's go out to Benjamin Albright right now. Bennett, Zach Gelb, thanks for a few minutes, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing great, and I appreciate you giving me a few minutes. So when this policy came down, going back to the conversation that I was alluding to a few moments ago, you were one of the first people that I thought of, and I wanted to get your take. So give me that perspective and your view on what the NFL did a few days ago.
Well, you know, on the one hand, I respect the rights of, you know, private businesses to levy rules and regulations that they see fit. But on the other hand, the NFL is shooting itself in the foot again. You know, this was a situation that had largely died out. You know, one of the things I asked on my show, and I've asked around ever since then, was name me somebody who was kneeling down the last week of the season. And when I asked that question, it's amazing how no one can ever answer with a specific name. It's because it had died down. It had died out in the, you know, in the eyes of most people. So the NFL, doing its pearl clutching as it does, has a small group of NFL owners who happen to be Trump supporters who are kind of pushing this whole thing. You know, the reality is the NFL is making money. It made more money last year than it did the year before. Broadcast rights are up, ad revenue's up, merchandise is up. So this idea that there's some kind of money deficit here or a need to do this or a need to put it in place is silly. And then from the human aspect of it is, you know, why don't we just create an environment where people don't want to kneel? Why don't we solve the problem? Why don't we ask them, what is causing you to kneel? How can I remedy and rectify that? Let me help you so that we create an environment where everybody wants to stand, and then we don't have a problem with kneeling to begin with. We don't have this issue to begin with. So I guess, you know, over time, I've gotten frustrated with people yelling at each other and pointing the finger and this, that, and the other, and nobody seems to want to solve the problem. They want to yell about the symptom.
And I don't think what the NFL did a few days ago really does anything. Like, I agree with you. I don't get why they did anything at this point other to just cater to the president, because like you said, they made $14 billion last year. I know TV ratings were down roughly 10%, but they're still king on TV. And all I got from the other day was it's just a vague and ambiguous policy where they say show respect. Well, what is showing respect? And then I guess they will find the teams and then we'll see what rules the owners do make. But this one really makes me scratch my head and I don't see what it really does accomplish.
Well, the rule's not going to accomplish anything. It's never going to go into effect. It actually violates the collective bargaining agreement to begin with. So that's the other part of it that's really kind of nonsense, is that why would you do this now when you've got a collective bargaining agreement already in place that you can't amend? This rule will never get enforced or ever go into place to begin with, at least not until there's a new collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, yeah, I totally agree with you. This is something that had dead and died out. The public had largely let it go. And all they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot. You talked about TV ratings being down 10%. That is true. However, television ratings were down 12 to 15% across the board. So the NFL was actually up relative to what television was down over last year. You know, the data shows that it didn't affect anything. Like I said, merchandise stuff, ad revenues are up, ad buys are up. You know, this whole kneeling quote unquote controversy and all that kind of stuff, it didn't affect anything.
What do you think happens this year? How do players respond if you had to project that?
I think if nothing had done, I think you would have seen the NFL kind of return to normal. As it is, you're going to see players that don't like that the ownership is trying to mandate something to them under the guise of compromise, or at least calling it a compromise, which of course it isn't. But, and I think you're going to see people try to be cheeky and get around it and bring the situation back to the forefront. So I think that it would have gone away had they let it go. And instead, I think they've reinflamed an argument that was smoldering and dying.
Another thing, and it's no surprise if the NFL is going to try to word something in a way to make it look good and make it look like everyone's on board, but I thought they dropped the ball here once again. They call it a unanimous decision. We find out there wasn't even an actual vote that took place, a formal vote. The 49ers and the Raiders abstained, and the Jets owner and Chris Johnson said that he won't fine players that continue to choose to protest. Why does the NFL say this is a unanimous decision when clearly not every single owner was okay with it?
Well, the NFL has always operated under the guise of a quote-unquote unity and unanimity. We saw that last year when these protests and these events started. The next couple of weeks, owners and front office people were down on the field in quote shows of unity and all this kind of stuff, which weren't really shows of unity. They were just a tacit handout to try to get the situation behind them. I think the NFL has always tried to play to that or play to that image, but we know, as a matter of fact, that was not that's not the case now. We all know that both San Francisco and Oakland were not going to vote for it, and they abstained. Mark Davis was adamantly opposed to this rule. So the more that comes out, the more embarrassing this thing gets to the league. It's, again, the league has a problem with leaving well enough alone, and this is another one that's going to come back and bite them on the butt.
Talking to Benjamin Albright right now, Zach Gilb show on CBS Sports Radio. Ben does a great job covering the league on AM 1340 in Denver. And let me just remind people, like I said in the open, you served two tours, 15-year Army vet. The President of the United States said the other day in an interview that if players kneel, maybe they shouldn't be in the league, and not only not be in the league, but maybe not in this country. As someone that has fought for people's freedom, how do you react to those comments by the President?
It's just a stupid comment. The idea that if people are, have a problem with this country, they shouldn't be here is ridiculous. Frankly, the president should know better. He ran on that platform. Though "Make America Great Again" implies America was not already great and had problems to begin with. So it's Donald Trump trying to be a provoker, which is what he is and what he does. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am and was a Republican. I've left the party while he's in charge. I can't be a part of that. It bothers me that he would say something like that. I remember a time when, if we saw problems in this country, we wanted to come together to fix them, instead of trying to kick, people out that we didn't necessarily agree with.
Let me just ask you this, because when the Kaepernick situation first happened, I did think it was disrespectful in the way that he was protesting. But over time, when you actually listen and have a civil conversation, I understand Kaepernick has not always gone about this the right way with the pink cop socks and also the Castro t-shirt. But when you actually listen to what these players are actually protesting, and I had the view from Philadelphia and I got to hear from Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long this year and also Torrey Smith, you kind of look at it and you say, okay, they're not doing it to be disrespectful to the flag. They're doing it to try to raise awareness and force change with the inequalities that go on in our country. Over time, I started to understand that, and I changed off my original standpoint. Why do you think people just continue to miss the point that these players are not intending to be disrespectful to the flag, but they're just trying to raise awareness to a serious issue that's going on in our country?
I think we have a serious epidemic of not wanting to listen. We go with knee-jerk reactions, and then we cherry-pick data to support that opinion instead of letting the facts draw us to a conclusion. We jump to the conclusion, cherry-pick data to support it. And, I think it's a problem out there. I had the good fortune of talking to Brandon Marshall, the linebacker in Denver, who has lost sponsorships over his kneeling. Fans were burning his jersey in effigy. He had some great conversations with the Denver Police Department, things like that. He's actively trying to change things in the community. I respect that. I think that one of the things that really really struck me was a comment someone made between the last time we spoke and now, and they said that, you know, it seems like that a lot of white people, and if you can't tell, I am one of those white people, you know, we want the race conversation to be over. We want it to be behind us. We want to, you know, we look at it, we say, well, let's move on from it. And a lot of the African community looks at it and they say, well, we want to have the conversation. It was never really had. And you know, that kind of resonated with me a little bit, because that is the attitude that I've had. My attitude has always been, well, why can't we put this behind us and move forward? And they make a very valid and very fair point. I've never had to sit there and have that conversation. So, you know, my advice to people out there would be, take the time to listen. Take the time to understand. Even if you don't think you necessarily agree with the argument, maybe don't try to argue with them. Just listen for a minute, and we would all be better off.
And I think it's also fair to bring up the point that we do need good cops in this country. We just don't need the bad ones as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have, you know, I think by and large, law enforcement is a good institution. I don't think that there's this rampant, you know, I don't think that all police officers are bad. I've had plenty of great experiences with police officers.
No question.
I've had a bad one or two, and I think we need to find a way to weed out these bad apples and get rid of it.
Wrapping up with Benjamin Albright right now. Ben, this has been great. Let's get to a little football, though. On the field, Brady, Gronkowski, Belichick, there's been a lot of noise there with Brady and Gronk not showing up to voluntary OTAs. Is this a lot of noise, or do you think there are actually problems brewing in New England?
I don't think there are too many problems. I think even if there are personal level issues with those players, they're all consummate professionals, and they all want to win more than anything else. And I think they know the point where they have to check the ego. I think the real question here is how much we're in media, we're drumming up, you know, a problem here, whether there really is one or not. You know, how much do you really need Tom Brady to show up for OTAs? Like, it's one of the greatest of all time. You really need him to show up for some meaningless install practices.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm waiting for him to have a good year, and then we can bring that debate back up on Twitter. Remember when people were making a lot of noise about this? Let me go to Reuben Foster, though. Marijuana possession case was dismissed. The domestic violence case was dropped, still facing a misdemeanor weapons possession charge. We know just because if you don't get convicted or just because something gets dropped in the National Football League, a player could still face discipline. What do you think ends up happening here with Reuben Foster?
Oh, I think that he'll plead down the, you know, the weapons charge. It'll end up being a community service type deal. He'll get a slap on the wrist from the league in terms of maybe a one, maybe a two game suspension tops for a cumulative type deal. Now, obviously, the domestic violence stuff was false, but the other things were actually, you know, legitimate. So there will be some sort of punishment levied for the league. Like I said, probably two games that gets negotiated down to one.
I got two more for Benjamin Albright here on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. With the OTA period now underway, Watson and Wentz, we want to see how they're going to recover from their injuries last year, both gruesome injuries, and we all know how important and how special they could be as players. What do you expect this upcoming year for the return of one Deshaun Watson and also Carson Wentz?
I haven't really talked, you know, to anybody about Watson's situation yet. Hadn't had a chance to. Probably going to do that this week. Talked extensively to people about Carson Wentz's situation. They expect him to be back 100%. He's obviously already throwing and kind of chomping at the bit. He feels like, you know, he's happy for Nick Foles and the situation that happened, but he feels like he left the season kind of incomplete, and so that's kind of stuck with him. And, you know, he's really got a competitive streak and wants to get back there and win it all. You know, one quarterback we didn't mention with the injury situation. Keep an eye out on this Andrew Luck situation. He still hasn't thrown, and there's some growing concern that that it may be Jacoby Brissett again this year if he doesn't start throwing soon.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that one at all, and it's a shame to see what has happened to Andrew Luck, and a lot of it was from the poor drafting and the failure to protect him under the regime of Ryan Grigson. Just before we let you run, since this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and I understand a lot of people are going to spend their time at the beach and, you know, drink their beer and have their barbecues, but it's also very important to reflect on the people that made the ultimate sacrifice. Since you have a very close connection, you serving 15 years, can you just reflect on some of the people that we've lost in this great country?
Well, I lost one of my soldiers in 2003, Specialist Jonathan Cheatham. You know, and I always take this weekend to kind of try to remember him. I try to get down and visit his family, you know, every other year. So it'll be next year before I get a chance to get down there and do that. But he was a young, bright kid, 19 years old, very smart, very selfless kid who, you know, had dreams of going on and becoming a famous writer. So, you know, every Memorial Day weekend, I try to lift my glass to Specialist Jonathan Cheatham.
Well, Ben, thank you. This was great. I do appreciate a few minutes, and we'll do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.